Welcome to the Lakeside Baptist Church podcast. We pray you are blessed as you hear the word of God today. For more information regarding Lakeside Baptist Church, please visit lakeside.asn.au.
Well, good morning, church. It's wonderful to see you here. We haven't met before. My name is Jordan, and I'm the youth worker here at Lakesides, and it's a privilege to give you the sermon this morning. Thank you, Dan, for the opportunity to preach. It's not something I take lightly. So let us get straight into it, shall we? Today we are looking at God's generous spirit, and we'll be looking at Ezekiel 36. What if I told you we live in two worlds? A physical earth we live in, that we can see and touch, but there's also another world that is invisible, one that we can't see or touch. And in this invisible world, there are forces of good and evil, forces of light doing battle against forces of darkness. This invisible world and invisible war exists, whether you know it or not. The forces of light shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. In fact, the light will win. In fact, it has already one. Now, I'm not talking about the Matrix movie or a new sci-fi movie. No, this is actually real life, because we do actually live in two worlds, spiritual worlds and the physical world. And the spiritual one is one that we don't see, one that lasts forever. It's actually really hard to find a Google image of, like, what is the spiritual world? Because, like, we can't see with our own eyes. But as humans, we have a soul, and we are spiritual, and yet we are physical, and we're right in that medium there. And we often forget that we live in the spiritual world. And so today, as we look at the spirits and God's spirit, the big idea, the key point that I want to make is spiritual transformation is by God's generous grace. And it's God's generous grace that spiritually transforms us so we can be generously serve the kingdom of heaven. Ezekiel 36, verse 24 to 28. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. So a bit of historical context real quick on Ezekiel, kind of written around 592, 570 BC. And Ezekiel is a priest and a prophet from Jerusalem. He's taken into Babylonian captivity, and he continues to write in captivity as well. And before going in, he prophesies, and he warns Israelites to repent before the invasion, even though God tells him they're not going to listen. But the big purpose of why Ezekiel writes, like, why was this actually written in a nutshell, is he wants to give hope for God's people to be rescued from captivity, from this future. There is a future exodus that's going to come. They're going to be restored and live with him in the promised land. He's trying to give them this hope. So today I want to just give 3 points in this sermon. It's pretty standard, 3-point sermon, right? First point is old stone hearts must be removed. Second point, the Holy Spirit transforms us to follow God's law. And the third point is we are to live in the kingdom with a generous spirit. So let's go. First point, old stone hearts must be removed. In the passage we just read from Ezekiel, God wants us to spiritually return home to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24, he says, I will gather you from all the countries, bring you back into your own land. God wants us to be spiritually clean, in verse 25. And in verse 26, he wants to give us a new spirit and a new heart. But what does it mean for our old stone hearts to be removed first? How do we actually do that? Well, it means that we are to put off our old self, our old sinful self. In Ephesians 4, verse 20, it says, that, however, is not the way of life you have learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And see, the thing is, the old self desires earthly things by nature. And that self, when it says it's being corrupted by its deceitful desires, we do deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves into thinking that physical and tangible is more important than eternal unseen. We do this all the time. But we need to have a new spirit in us. We need to put off our old spirit and have a new spirit. Here's an analogy from the Bible with old wineskins and new wineskins. Luke 5 says, "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins." And that image has been put even into a song by Hillsong Worship. And this is the bridge from it. "Because where there is new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. Lay down my old flames to carry your new fire day." I think that's a really cool image. Also, if you were falling asleep, now you're awake. That's great. So stay with me, all right? But we need this new wine, don't we? And we can only receive this new wine with a new wineskin. That new power, that new freedom, that only comes from the Spirit. That kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. It's here. And our old flame, our old soul, needs to be replaced by the new fire, by the new Spirit that came in Pentecost. So, a practical application. What does it mean to remove our stone of heart? It is to confess and repent of our sins. And I'll just leave on this point here with a question, which is, when was the last time you confessed and repented of your sins and your sinful hearts? That's something that we need to do. It's not just a one-off. It's not just when you were saved. As Christians, we still sin. That's the reality. But we must keep confessing and repenting to our Lord Jesus. All right, point number two, the Holy Spirit transforms us to follow God's law. It is only by the work of the Holy Spirit in us that we are able to obey God's law. Because only those who obey God's law are able to follow him, to be a Christian. I'm not saying that it's our works that save us, it's not what we do, but obedience to God's law is a visible sign of your relationship with Jesus. The Bible says that too. James chapter 2 will say, "Good deeds are the evidence of faith." And so to do this, we need a renewed mind. Romans chapter 12 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, some of you may have watched the film The Matrix. If you haven't, I think it's a great film. I'd probably recommend it to, you know, pretty much anyone over the age of 15. If you're a bit younger, maybe just ask your parents first, or I get your parental guidance. But for those of you who haven't seen this film, The Matrix is a futuristic sci-fi film set in a post-apocalyptic world. Robots have taken control of the world, and they're using humans, captive humans, as an energy source to kind of power their batteries. There was a nuclear war, and basically that caused sunlight to be gone from the Earth's surface. The sun's rays were blocked from the Earth. There's this main character, Keanu Reeves, who's called Neo, and he, when he discovers all humans are imprisoned by the robots and living in the Matrix. The Matrix is a virtual reality. It's a simulation of life, I think, in the early 2000s, arguably the best decades, But when Neo wakes up from this virtual reality, from this simulation, his mind is completely renewed, right? And he realizes he has been living a false reality his entire life, this whole time. But having a renewed mind does what? It completely changes his vision, and it completely changes his plans for his life. And so, in a similar way as Christians, yeah, we get distracted by the world, right? But we have had our minds renewed, you know. But are we still sometimes often living in a matrix? Are we stuck there? Or are we aware? Are we present? Are we in the kingdom of heaven? And so we must constantly ask the Holy Spirit to renew our minds. We can't be transformed without the Holy Spirit. And some questions to ask ourselves would be, when was the last time you prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to help you obey God's commands? And are you living with vision for God's kingdom? Or do you just see this world? Here's a quick example of vision for the kingdom. Let me use youth group. Youth group is not really, when you think about it, weekly programs or what we do on Friday or Saturday nights or Mondays. And yeah, what do we want to do? We do want to create a space for young people. We want them to connect and make new friends and have fun and feel safe, you know, physically, emotionally. But that's not really the purpose. What's the real purpose? It's about the souls of young people and desiring to see them in the kingdom of heaven. And so, in the same way, that is God's plan and purpose for all of us, which is to glorify Jesus and for humans to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we must have vision for the unseen and the eternal. There's a lot of Bible verses out there. This is definitely one of my favorite from Corinthians 4, which I'll read. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And maybe you're here this week and, you know, it's been a great week and it's been a real blessing. But maybe as well, maybe you just had not just a terrible week, but maybe you've just been going through a tough season. Maybe you have lost heart. Maybe life seems hopeless. Maybe you feel misjudged, misunderstood. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, fix your eyes not on what you see, but what is unseen. Fix your eyes on the eternal. Point number three, we are to live in the kingdom with a generous spirit. And I've put up those three key verses, and I've highlighted there the word then. It's a pretty important word. It's a short one. It's one we all know. This is kind of, to be technical, called a connective conjunction. What does that mean? It means it's a linking word between the clauses, right? Which is giving you the explanation, right? Why are we removing our old hearts? Why are we getting a new spirit? Because then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. Then you will be my people and I will be your God. And to translate this, not translate, but to think of this in the terms of 2024 today, what's the land, right? We're not talking about going back to Israel, although that's a whole other issue. The land is the kingdom of heaven, right? That's what the land is for us here in 2024. Who are our ancestors? Yes, we have heritage from people in the Bible, but the ancestors are the Christians that have gone before us, the apostles, the early church, who have laid the foundations for why we're even here, and for all generations before us in the kingdom. You will be my people, God's people, us, Christians, but also as Dan was, Braden was saying today, you know, the church in Perth, the church in the world, and I will be your God. You will be our God. I'll tell a quick story. In 2018, I was living in London. I'm at a restaurant in the city center. I'm talking to a friend, put my bag down on the floor for a minute, and I looked back, it was gone. I'd been robbed. My hoodie, my antique, I think I had an antique silver coin, psychology book, a few things in my bag, and even a sandwich were stolen, which I was looking forward to eating. That was pretty rough. I was feeling pretty down. And a couple weeks later, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, came home to this my shared flat where I was staying. There was a bit of commotion. I found out that we had a break-in, and I also had been robbed. This time it was significantly more financially. I took a hit. Yeah, my laptop, a bunch of valuables had been stolen. It's also during, I think, close to Christmas time, and I was away from family, and a whole bunch of my friends had gone away to see their family. So I was just alone, absolutely gutted, absolutely in despair, pretty hopeless. Yet in this season, God continued to show his generosity to me. Friends in London, they gave me a new hoodie, replaced my stolen book, and even, I don't know, there was this guy that collected antique stuff, but even replaced the exact same antique coin that I had. Friends and family in Perth helped support and donate and gave me some money enough to buy a laptop, a new laptop, so I could keep on doing work in London. And even in the midst of misery and despair, I saw that God is generous. God is so generous to us, and he will generously provide for us so we can serve and minister to others. Now, on the one hand, there is no true altruism on earth in some ways. And what do I mean by that? Which is, yeah, I guess in a human sense, everyone has their own personal kind of hidden motives and agenda. So how can we be generous? How can we truly be generous? Next slide, by the way. We need the Holy Spirit within us to transform our hearts so that we can be truly generous. That's the only way. Otherwise, our human side, our human agenda, our motives are going to take the reins. So we need the Spirit to do that for us. That's the only way we can truly be generous. To confess, to repent, and to regenerate our hearts and to renew our spirit. And so I want to encourage you, church, to use your money, your time, your spiritual gifts, and all that God has blessed you with. Because every good thing that you have in your life is from God. And to use those things to be generous to others. Quickly on the gifts of the Spirit, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is good through the Spirit's of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And these are work and the same spirits, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So whether you have wisdom or knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, use these gifts generally, generously, and generally. So in summary, we've looked at these 3 points. Our old stone hearts must be removed. How? By confession and repentance of our sins. God transforms us to follow his law. And we do this by being renewed and by asking the Spirit to continue to renew us and admire in our hearts and to live in the kingdom, to use the gifts God has given us, all of them, to give generously. And where does Christ come into all of this? Well, ultimately, it's all in him. Jesus is God's ultimate generosity. Jesus came down. In the incarnation, he became human. He became one of us. 100% a man. 100%. He died on a cross for our sins. He took on shame, pain, suffering that is unimaginable to all of us here. But he rose from the dead to give us salvation. And that is God's ultimate generous gift to humanity. The most generous gift of the Holy Spirit is freeing us from sin and sanctifying us, making us holy. As we come to a close, I'll just ask these questions. And I want you to know, being up here on the stage, working for a church, don't make me better than anyone else in this room. I'm just as much a sinner, and I just as much need to be reminded of how much God loves and transforms me. And so when I ask you these questions, I'm really asking myself, church, How are you living? Stuck? Are you stuck in the world? Are you stuck in the matrix? Are you getting distracted by things around you? Are you focused on the physical and temporary things, which are going to fade away? How much are you actually focused on the spiritual and the eternal? What motivates you to relate to others? That's a good question. Because we're all human. We're all social beings, even the introverts, okay? None of us live off in the forest by ourselves. But how do you relate to others? What's the driving factors behind it? When you speak to people, when you talk, is it for your own gain or is it for the kingdom's gain? How often are you encouraging, discipling, and evangelizing to others? And you are blessed to have people in your lives that you can do that with. Maybe it's your children, maybe it's your grandchildren, maybe it's your friend, work colleague, fellow students in your classroom, at uni, at school. Because those are the most generous things you can give. Yes, you can give with your money and your time and your resources. But encouraging your brother and sister in Christ, discipling those under your care, and sharing the word. How are you living? Are you living generously for God? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you and we give you praise that you came down to us and that because of you, we can have a renewed heart and renewed spirit, Lord. I pray that as we head off into our week and our days, that we're not just stuck in the matrix, that we're not just stuck in the grind of this physical world, but that we do fix our eyes on you. Remind us, Lord, when we forget. Forgive us, Lord, when we just don't have vision for your kingdom. And Lord, as we go forward, just continue to encourage us. Would we be encouraging to others around us? And would we continue to seek you and want to hear from you more and more, day by day? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.